Welcome into the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. I'm Matt Jones. It's week three of the Arkansas baseball season. The Razorbacks are 6-1 entering a weekend series against the Stony Brook Seawolves at Baum Walker Stadium. A little bit of a change to the weekend schedule this week. Arkansas and Stony Brook will play a doubleheader on Friday beginning at 1 o'clock. The second game of the doubleheader will begin about 30 minutes after the conclusion of the first game. And the third game of the series is still scheduled for 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Some winter weather is in the forecast for Fayetteville and made it impossible to play the game on Sunday. There's some thought that Saturday's game might be a little bit dicey to play as well. As we said, Arkansas 6-1. They're coming off a series win at USC last weekend, won 2 of 3 against the Trojans, won by final scores in game 1 of 6-3, 8-6 in game 2, and lost game 3 with a walk-off home run, a 6-4 final in that one. Arkansas came back to Baum Walker Stadium and defeated Memphis on Wednesday by a final score of 10-3. In this edition, we'll talk some about the USC series. We'll talk a little bit about the Memphis game. We'll answer your questions, kind of take a look at Arkansas's stolen base success through 7 games. It's been pretty incredible. The Razorbacks 20-for-22 in stolen bases so far. But we start the show today with Eric Sorensen. Eric is a national writer for D1Baseball.com. He lives in Los Angeles, and he attended 2 of 3 games between Arkansas and USC last week. And Eric, I guess my first question for you is, have you thawed out from those games? It was pretty cold there in L.A.
Yeah, well, here's how stupid I am, Matt. I not only went to the games and stayed the whole time and froze, I also rode my motorcycle to both games, and it got even, the first night I went on Thursday, my fingers started to, like, I lost feeling in my fingers as I was riding home, so that's how smart I was about it. At least the second game I went to on Saturday, I wore my ski gloves to ride on the way back. But yes, it was a little uncommonly cold here in Southern California. It'll get down into the 40s from time to time, but yeah, that game dipped into the probably mid-40s or so, I think, by the end of both nights. So yeah, it was a little bit chilly out here for these brittle Southern California people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're used to cold games here in Arkansas. We're looking ahead to the Stony Brook series this weekend. They're talking about snow and 20-degree temperatures and wind chills in the teens, but I don't think people expect that when they go out on the West Coast. That's why these teams, you know, they schedule these West Coast games in Southern California early in the year.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, is I was sitting there as I was there, and you're talking about the games against Stony Brook going to be down even into the 20s. That might be a little bit too much, but I'm sitting there at the stadium, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to miss weather like this when we get to June, and I'm in Omaha, and it's 120 degrees heat index. So maybe I should count my blessings that they were pretty cold games here.
Eric, I wonder, what did you think about the series and primarily what you saw from Arkansas, especially in that series opening win on Thursday?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting because I thought Arkansas kind of reminded me a lot of Florida. I saw the Gators on opening weekend against Long Beach State, and Arkansas is the same way, kind of a lot of new blood coming into the like the fielding positions, and a lot of guys that did really well. In fact, Dave Van Horn after the game was talking about the defensive plays of left fielder Christian Franklin and third baseman Jacob Nesbitt. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same way with Florida, and in the same way as the Gators. You know, Arkansas, you could just see that they have some good pitching. They got some capable arms, but they're going to kind of have to piece it together. They're still trying to figure out who their rotation is. But, you know, there's still a lot of guys that are going to be high-round draft picks. And I thought Cody Scroggins, who kind of surprised me, that got the start on Thursday, mm-hmm. did pretty good. He pitched into the fourth inning, only gave up one hit, and he struck out 8 guys. So for Scroggins, this was only his 5th start of his career at Arkansas. He did pretty well. I think he kind of had a few control issues, and that's why they yanked him early on, and plus it's early in the season, so they're not going to let him go too deep. But there were some positive signs, I thought, from Arkansas. I knew they had a lot to replace, but some of the guys that came up, some of the newbies that came around, including those freshmen I just mentioned, and Trevor Ezell, the transfer from Southeast Missouri, I was pretty impressed with the way they played. And so I can see the potential for this Arkansas team. It just might not be manifesting itself right now, but I think down the line, if they can gel together, you can see that they've got another team that's going to go to the postseason.
You know, I think the question for everyone in Arkansas is, how good is Southern Cal? This is a program that it never seems to really live up to, you know, the expectations that, that people have for Southern Cal, but relative to its, you know, to its history. How good is Southern Cal this year? Because they came into bomb last season. They won 1 of 3, took Arkansas to the brink in the series finale, and then they ended up, you know, kind of going downhill from there. Is this a Southern Cal team that might make the tournament, or are we looking at a team that's similar to the way they were in 2018?
I kind of hate to say it because I really like Dan Hubbs, the head coach of USC. He's one of the nicest guys in college baseball, but I just don't think USC has it again this year. Again, you can kind of see some of the play. They got some talent. There's some pieces there, but I just don't see this team as a team that's going to make it to the postseason. And I don't know why it is that they play Arkansas so tough, because they did it again this past weekend. Last year, they almost won that series, and Arkansas almost won the national championship. So it's kind of weird that they'd give them a tussle, and they did it again this time too. Sad to say, I just don't think USC is going to be quite up to snuff. And you see a lot of teams on the Pac-12 this year that are really on the uptick, like Arizona State and Oregon so far, that are going to come up and apparently going to be good teams this year. So it's not what I'm seeing. When I saw USC beat Nebraska-Omaha, actually lost the game and played tight games against UNO, I kind of realized that. I was like, yeah, maybe this isn't in the cards for Dan Hubbs again this year. But you saw some fight against Arkansas. I'm not going to say they're completely out of the picture to make the postseason, but they just don't come across as a team that's, you know, beat you over the head that they're, you know, they're no doubt or to make it to the NCAA tournament.
What's happened at USC? Why is that program falling off?
It's really weird because you're right. Nobody has more history and more tradition than USC does is winning with Rod Dedeaux and all those years. I thought they had a good thing with Mike Gillespie, and he kind of let things slip a bit at the end, and he's a Hall of Fame coach too, and they actually kind of ran him off. I'm not really sure what it is. I think a lot of it might have to do with just in college baseball in general, you're kind of getting this whole, facilities upgrades, kind of an arms race to get better facilities, to get better, you know, like indoor hitting cages and all that kind of stuff. And just, I think teams out here, they're not at the level of SEC and, you know, Arkansas type levels with the facilities, but you know, everybody out here has improved their facilities and had more to offer to recruits. And USC is kind of, it's also kind of in a tough part of town and in Los Angeles. And it's just kind of, that's just the only thing I can think is other teams have upgraded so much. And the other teams have upgraded their coaching staff so much because you got guys like John Savage at UCLA, who's now won a national title and played for a couple of national titles. And, you know, Rick Vanderhook and Fullerton, they're always good. Mm-hmm. But some of these teams have just kind of upgraded facilities, upgraded their coaching and their programs in general. And I think that the effect is that USC has just kind of dropped off and hasn't been able to gain their ground like they used to have. That's just kind of how it is.
You spent a lot of time going to West Coast baseball stadiums, and I think people were in Arkansas who may not pay a lot of attention. Let me back up. I think there are a lot of people in Arkansas who have begun to pay attention to baseball because of the run that they had in Omaha last season. And so when they see the first road trip of the year, they're watching online, they see there's 777 people or 992 people in the stands, and half of them are from Arkansas. They're saying, what's going on here? But that's West Coast baseball. It's so much different than what we see here in the South.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, it's a different culture. Obviously, California is one of the hotbeds of recruiting. Obviously, they're going to have some of the best players in the country every year. So they get players out that stay out here and do well, and the programs are strong. But the fan bases aren't there. It's not as fervent as SEC baseball, obviously, or even Big 12 baseball. I think you'll get it once in a while. Like there are pockets of it out in the West Coast where you get some pretty strong crowds, but those will always happen later on in the year, and especially in the postseason. You'll get some decent crowds, but yeah, it's just not the same. For whatever reason, if this be it a good thing or a bad thing, college baseball is just not as big a priority to people on the West Coast. So take that whatever grain of salt you want to. That's just kind of their mindset, other things to do kind of a deal, you know?
You know, I've been to Phoenix for a number of times for Arkansas series against Arizona State, whether it be in the postseason or they've, you know, played some regular season, and you see that there. How much do you think that's influenced by the number of pro teams that are on the West Coast? Because it seems like that's where people's allegiances are.
Phoenix or Los Angeles here or San Diego, obviously having a pro team is definitely a big deal, and that's the thing. It's the baseball to follow. And that's what makes the SEC kind of special, though, obviously, because they don't have these – most of these teams don't have a major league team in their city. So, you know, this is the place to go. It's, you know, you're going to go to LSU and get 10,000 fans, or Arkansas, which I've been to a couple of Arkansas games in I almost said Little Rock, in Fayetteville, sorry. And they've just been just happening. You know, they've been a happening. It's really good. And, yeah, and out here, it's all about pro sports. That's just kind of the way it is. Now, at the same time, though, it's weird to also see USC football get like, you know, 80,000 people for their games, and the LA Rams don't get like maybe 60,000. So it's kind of a weird dichotomy, but baseball wise, it obviously is certainly a Dodgers, Angels, Padres, you know, D-backs type thing on the out West.
Was it last year or the year before you came to Fayetteville and sat in left field?
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think it was last, wait, was it last year? Maybe it was the year before, I guess. And yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew they had a great stadium. I'd been to the stadium before. I've toured it before whenever I came there for a football game, actually. But I had no idea that they had the left field, whatever you want to call it, kind of like Mississippi State's left field lounge. They just had so many people. Half the crowd was out in left field having a good time, drinking beers and whatnot. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was a lot of fun, too.
Hey, Eric, I wonder what you thought about Isaiah Campbell, or did you get to you weren't there Friday? Did you get to see him pitch though?
I didn't get to see him. I saw his numbers, and of course, I mean, obviously, I saw him pitch in the College World Series last year a couple of times, and he again, Matt, it's just one of these things where he just has so much potential. He's going to be a high round pick, but he didn't have his best stuff maybe against USC, just judging by the amount of hits he gave up and whatnot. But yeah, he's a horse, and if he's kind of the thing. And one of the things I kind of thought about with Arkansas is the starting pitching is kind of a little bit of a question mark this year. I mean, as far as early in the year, let's see how that develops. Again, kind of got to piece it together and who's going to develop there, who's going to make, you know, play those roles. But it's the starting pitching that's kind of hurt them in the USC series a little bit. But the bullpen ended up being the hero for most of those games. But yeah, I was a little surprised that Campbell got hit well and Scroggins didn't last too long, and Connor Nolan on Saturday night only went four innings, too, so it's just kind of a weird thing. I think they'll eventually work itself out, though.
Arkansas has a lot of older players in its bullpen. It almost seems like Dave Van Horn has adopted a philosophy this season of, let's see how long the starter can go, whether it's three innings, four innings, five innings, and then we're going to turn it over to that deep, talented bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, in both games you saw, the bullpen pitched pretty well.
Yeah, in fact, one of the only thing they did do well, the only one that I thought was a little weird in the Thursday game, Patrick Wicklander, the freshman, Dave Van Horn said after the game, you know, he only pitched to a couple guys, walked to and hit a batter. Dave Van Horn said, you know, if you see Wicklander pitch 100 times this year, he's not going to do that 99 times out of 100, I guess is essentially what he's saying. He's going to be locked in. This was just kind of a weird thing. And it's kind of true. Wicklander actually was, when we sent out our D1 baseball questionnaire in the fall, he was penciled in as the Sunday starter for Arkansas. So they've got it in mind to keep him, to maybe make him a starter as the year goes on. But yeah, the rest of the guys did well. I mean, obviously you got Cole Ramage, a guy that's been around, Matt Cronin, he was just throwing just fire. He looked like he was throwing 110 miles per hour or something like that. It was hurting me when I heard the ball hit the mitt, but he's going to be a first round draft pick this coming June. So, yeah, they've got some really good relievers and a deep staff. I like I said, it's just going to be a matter of working out the pieces, who's going to step up and who's going to make, you know, get the roles and as starters and kind of go with it. And, again, I think Isaiah Campbell's going to be the horse at the end of the year. He's going to be the guy that's going to be the key, I think, him and Scroggins from the – I'm sorry, Cronin from the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the key guys, I think.
Eric, before I get you out of here, I wonder – as a national guy and living on the West Coast, what do you think Arkansas's run in Omaha did last season for the perception of the program? Because it seems to me like the program has really stepped up its game in recruiting and some other, you know, maybe not on the field areas since that run in Omaha, that their perception nationally has really elevated.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you do when you're an SEC team and you make it to the finals and you turn that stadium in Omaha, you know, into almost all Arkansas fans or as Mississippi State did or as LSU did. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives you a little bit of a boost in your program. And Dave Van Horn's done a great job. I mean, as a national writer, and you've been at Arkansas for a while too, Matt, you know the guy's a stud. Dave Van Horn's just a stud. And I grew up in Nebraska, so he's kind of a god to me because he's the one that brought Nebraska to the College World Series finally after all those years. So he's gonna keep the program going strong. But you're right, a run like that in Omaha gets you a lot because in the middle of summer, there's not a lot going on, you know, other than professional baseball. So those games in Omaha, they were one of the first stories on SportsCenter. So Arkansas got a lot of run out of that, and I think, and again. With Dave Van Horn, he's a great recruiter. Nate Thompson, the assistant coach, great recruiter too, and a great assistant as well. I just think there's no skipping a beat with these guys, and I thought last year's run really just amped the program up just a little bit more, especially just the interest of all those fans coming to Omaha and just packing that stadium. That was really something special.
Eric, hopefully we can get you back in left field this year. They've got home games against Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU.
Yeah, it's actually funny because a friend of mine, a big Hogs fan in Dallas, says he's going to Arkansas for a game for a series this year and asked me to come along. So I might make it out there to see you guys at Baum Field again. Great atmosphere. Again, that was kind of something I was not expecting to be such a happening, but man alive, that was really cool. It was a lot of fun to go there. I look forward to getting back there again, possibly this year.
Well, Eric, we appreciate your time. Be sure to read Eric at d1baseball.com. When we come back, we will talk more about the Razorbacks as they get ready for the Stony Brook series this weekend. Be back after this on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. I'm Matt Jones. Each week, we take your questions from our message boards at wholehogsports.com. You can also send in your questions to our social media pages on Twitter at Whole Hog Sports or on Facebook if you will search for Whole Hog Sports. Facebook.com/WholeHogSports is the link. This week, a few questions about the baseball team. First one is about Cody Scroggins. It says Cody Scroggins was unexpectedly very impressive in his start at USC. Does that change the way that we look at him as far as being a starter? I think absolutely. I think Scroggins was very impressive in the game at Southern Cal. He started the Thursday game because of the way the schedule worked out. They didn't want to pitch Isaiah Campbell on 5 days rest. And Scroggins pitched really well for him out at Southern Cal. Gave him some good innings, really strong start, ran into some trouble right before he came out of the game. And I think that inconsistency, the tendency maybe to offer up free passes, that's the one knock on Cody Scroggins. And if he can get past that, then I think, you know, Arkansas's got a really good prospect there at pitcher. He's a fourth-year player. He's been through it a little bit. He's mature. He knows hitters. He understands what works for him as far as his own pitches. But yeah, I think that Cody Scroggins has got a really good chance to be a starter for this team quite a bit this year. He's going to start this weekend against Stony Brook. He'll start game two, the second game of the Friday doubleheader. And that kind of, I think, has been the plan with Cody Scroggins since before the season. He was one of probably six guys, I think, who were really thought to be starting candidates before the season started. Had a couple of good outings, and then his last preseason outing before the season started, he didn't pitch that well. I think he walked four batters in an inning. And again, you saw that against Southern Cal. He pitched really well, but then he had that inning where he hit a couple of batters, and things just kind of unraveled on him. And so I think, you know, Cody has got a chance to be a starter for this team. I just think that, you know, maybe the same with Isaiah Campbell. When things start going wrong, how is he able to compose himself? And I think that'll really tell the story for Cody as the season goes along. And as far as stuff goes, he's got the stuff. Really nice mid-90s fastball. He's got some good off-speed delivery. and I think he definitely has the makeup of a potential starter for Arkansas. But I really think that, you know, that third starter is going to be something that there's probably some movement in there, you know, quite a bit before the season ends. Next question is about Heston Kerstad. It says, Heston is off to a very slow start and seems to be swinging at pitches out of the zone. Is there concern about his start, considering he didn't hit at all in the exhibition games? I don't think what he did in the fall really has any bearing on what we're seeing now. I think for Kerstad, you know, the problem with him has kind of been chasing pitches out of the zone, and whether that be high fastballs, we've seen that with him. You know, Dave Van Horn says that with Kerstad, really waist down, he's a great hitter. It's when they start elevating the pitches on him, that's where he's really got to grow as a hitter. And remember, he's just a sophomore. And so he's got two more years, almost two full years of college baseball left. And I think you'll see him, you know, grow up as a hitter. But Kerstad right now, you know, he's struggling. There's no way around it. He struggled at USC, was 3-for-15 in that series, had five opportunities with runners in scoring position, didn't come through in any of them. You know, it might have been a good sign for him against Memphis the other day. He came to the plate with two out and some runners in scoring position, got a two-out hit. And so maybe that begins to get him, you know, out of the funk as he goes into the Stony Brook series. My prediction with Kerstad is that he's going to break out of this slump. He's too good of a hitter to stay in a slump for long. But I do think, you know, there are a couple of pitches, whether it be the high fastball, letter high, or maybe even chin high. He has a tendency to chase those. And he also has a tendency to chase breaking pitches inside, particularly, I think, from left-handers. You saw that in the Memphis game a couple of times where the breaking pitch really ate him up on the inside. And so Kerstad will grow as a hitter. He's struggling right now, but it is early in the season, and it's kind of been my experience that hitters will come along a lot more as the season goes along, as it starts to get warmer. And I don't think there's any doubt that Heston Kerstad is going to be able to hit for this team. It's just a matter of breaking out of a couple of tendencies that he has right now. The next question is about Casey Opitz. Question says, Dave Van Horn mentioned in his interview that in games 1 and 2 of the USC series, Opitz played as well as any catcher he had seen at this level. I'd like to hear about what all he brings to the table, the extent to which he's calling pitches, and what his ceiling looks like both here and draft-wise. Before I answer that question, here is the soundbite from Van Horn talking about Casey Opitz, and I agree, this is high praise from a coach who's had some really good catchers, including James McCann, who's a starter in the Major League Baseball right now.
That's as good as I've ever seen a catcher catch at our level. I mean, because of the balls in the dirt, the blocks, jumping on it, throwing people out, I mean, we were very impressed.
That was Dave Van Horn talking about Casey Opitz prior to the Memphis game, talking about the two games that he played, that he started at Southern Cal. Opitz didn't start game 3, but he did come into game 3 as a pinch runner. He had the leadoff double in the ninth inning that eventually became the tying run and sent the game into extra innings. I think Opitz is a really good catcher, and I think Zach Plunkett's a really good catcher. It's just that Zach is getting overshadowed a little bit by how well Casey Opitz is playing right now. Opitz is doing just about everything you want him to do. He's hitting the ball at a pretty good level. You know, had some hits out at USC, I think maybe 3 or 4 in the two-plus games that he played there. Catching, he's just really making it look easy, and that goes for all the facets of a defensive catcher. He's framing pitches really well. I remember a game, I think it was the first game at USC, Scroggins threw a really nice breaking pitch that was below the knees, and Opitz framed it, and it was called for a strike. And that's what good catchers do. And, you know, like we said, he's controlling the run game, framing pitches really well. I think, you know, from an all-around standpoint, when you think about defensively hitting, even base running, he's not a bad base runner. You know, he's built a little bit different than some of these catchers that you see in the college game, especially, you know, some of the ones that have come through Arkansas. He's just built differently. He's a really good all-around player, and I think that's why you've seen him come off the bench in both of the games that he hasn't started this year, is because he just brings a lot to the table. As far as his calling pitches, I don't know where they are with that. I know that in the past, and remember there's a new pitching coach now, Matt Hobbs, in the past with Wes Johnson and Dave Joren, over time the catchers would develop that trust with the pitching coaches and you know, the older they got, the more it seemed that they were able to call their own games. I'm not sure where Casey Opitz is with that. Remember, in a couple of weeks, they'll be able to start wearing that headset again in conference games, and then he'll be getting suggestions from the dugout. And then as far as his draft ceiling, I'm not sure. You know, if you can play catcher at Arkansas, more often than not, you're going to really help yourself draft-wise. You saw James McCann do it. James McCann could have been a high draft pick out of high school. He was, you know, everybody knew that he could frame pitches up really well and that he was a good defensive catcher. But he came to Arkansas, really helped himself out. I think he was a second-round draft pick. Made a lot of money for himself coming to Arkansas. The same thing goes for Grant Cook. I think Grant Cook probably didn't have as much draft potential coming out of high school as James McCann did. He comes to Arkansas, and he does well for himself as a fifth-round draft pick of the Pirates. And so I think Opitz will probably do well for himself in the draft. And remember, Casey Opitz has got a couple of older brothers, too, who have played professional baseball. And so I think there's something to personal accountability, personal drive that goes into Casey Opitz as well. And I would be very surprised if he's not able to put himself in position to be drafted really high next year and when he's draft eligible in 2020. Next question is about pitch counts. I know that pitch counts will increase as the season goes on, but is there some thought that we might see shorter starts all season because of a deeper than normal bullpen, sort of like Texas Tech did last season? I think that you will see shorter starts this year. And the sense that I get in talking to Dave Van Horn, and I mentioned this or touched on it a little bit earlier with Eric Sorensen, is that I think you're going to see some younger pitchers potentially start for this team, whether it's a Connor Noland, who's already in the rotation, maybe a Patrick Wicklander, if he works his way into the rotation, you know, during conference play. I think you're going to see some younger pitchers start, and the at least ideal scenario for this coaching staff is to leave some of these more experienced veteran arms in the bullpen. I think about guys like Cole Ramage. He could be a starter. They were talking about he could potentially be their number two starter coming into the season. Jacob Kostyshok, he started on opening weekend. He's got starter stuff and has really pitched well in the two times that he's pitched for Arkansas this season. I thought he probably pitched as well as anyone out at Southern Cal. 4 2/3 innings, I believe, maybe 3 2/3 innings. Retired the first 10 batters, though, that he faced before, you know, things went a little haywire on him in the eighth inning. Gave up an earned run that probably shouldn't have been an earned run. In fact, it shouldn't have been an earned run because of an error between the second baseman, Jack Kindley, and the right fielder, Heston Kerstad, that was called a double by the home scorekeeper. But yeah, I think you're going to potentially see some shorter starts by the starters if they're not pitching to their maximum potential. You're not going to take Isaiah Campbell out after five innings if Isaiah Campbell hasn't, you know, had a hit. You don't do that. And, you know, you want Campbell and Noland and whoever's starting to go as long as they can to save your bullpen for another, you know, another day during the weekend. But I do think there is something to that, that they trust their bullpen quite a bit more this year, that there are more pitchers that they trust coming out of the bullpen than they did last year. Remember, last year it was basically Barrett Loeschke and Jake Reindl and Matt Cronin. There wasn't a whole lot else in the bullpen. And this year, you know, you can just go on down the list. Ramage, Kostyshok, Kevin Copps, Matt Cronin, Zebulon Vermillion. There are a lot of arms in that bullpen that it seems like the coaching staff trusts. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see some shorter starts maybe as the weekend, as you get long, or as you get deeper into the weekend, maybe to get to that bullpen, especially if they weren't having, or if they weren't had, if you didn't have to rely on them a whole lot on that Friday or Thursday or whatever day your game one is on. Final question is about the infield, and the question is, who is regarded as the next guy in for the infield? That's an interesting question, and I think it's a difficult question to answer because these players like Kindley and Jacob Nesbitt especially are able to play multiple positions pretty well. I mean, you could put Jack Kindley at second base where he is right now, or you could move him to shortstop, and I don't think he would miss a beat. He's played third base pretty well throughout his career. Same goes for Nesbitt. I think Nesbitt plays a pretty good second base. He's been a pleasant surprise at third. Remember that Nesbitt was practicing at second, and Kindley was practicing at third just a week or so before the season began, and then they made that change. But there are a lot of interchangeable parts, I think, in this infield. Once Trevor Ezell is able to recover 100% from that shoulder surgery, he could move back to second base. Maybe that changes some things. And I think that will change some things, to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me if, say, by conference play, you see Trevor Ezell move back to second, maybe see Jack Kinley move back to third, Martin is your shortstop, and maybe you see a Jordan McFarland or a Matt Goodhart, whoever is hitting better between the two of them, or maybe you put one at first base and the other at DH, and then a Jacob Nesbitt becomes your guy that you bring into the field to play defense in the final inning or two. As far as other infielders on the team, there really aren't just a whole lot other than the ones I've mentioned. Colby Boulware is going to be a very good infielder for this team, I think, in the future, but he's sitting out this year. He was a freshman All-American last year at TCU, and so I think the infielders that you see are really the infielders that you get with this team. Again, you can send your questions to us on our social media pages, on Twitter at Whole Hog Sports, Facebook.com/WholeHogSports, or on our message boards at WholeHogSports.com. When we come back, we will talk about the stolen bases. That's been the story of the season for Arkansas, is how effortlessly it seems like the Razorbacks are stealing bases on this team, 20 for 22 going into the Stony Brook series. We'll talk about that more when we come back on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app, presented by Absolute Heat and Air. Check out the all-new Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app is presented by Absolute Heat and Air. For the absolute best service, trust Absolute Heat and Air.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. If you watch Arkansas this season, and let's face it, if you're 30 minutes into this podcast, we know you do, it doesn't take long to notice there's something different about this year's team. After hitting a school record 98 home runs a year ago and 83 homers the year before that, the Razorbacks have returned to Dave Van Horn's roots and are playing small ball. It'd be difficult to find many teams more aggressive on the bases than Arkansas has been through seven games. The Razorbacks have successfully stolen 20 of 22 bases this year, including their last 15. They were 5-for-5 in Game 2 at Southern Cal and 5-for-5 in their most recent game, a midweek win over Memphis. Prior to the season, Van Horn said this year's team would be more aggressive on the bases. You get what you emphasize, he said, and Arkansas put a heavy emphasis on base running in fall practice. I asked Van Horn this week if these early season games were some kind of a precursor to the aggression his team will show throughout the season. Here's what he said.
We're just going to take what you give us. And we felt like that the catcher had a good arm, had a good release, but the pitchers, a few of them, were slow to the plate. And so we didn't really, to me, maybe one or two times, I think we stole, I don't know, 8 or 9 bases. Really was a gamble. I felt like if our guy got a good jump with the times that their pitchers were to the plate, that we could steal them. And the catcher got to make a perfect throw. And in a couple cases, he really did make good throws. We just beat him. And, you know, it has to be the right guy. I mean, you look at the numbers, you know, Martin can steal, Ezell can steal, Franklin can steal, a couple other guys in there a little bit. And that's what we did.
Now, Arkansas players, they seem to love the new approach. Casey Martin, the speedy shortstop from Lone Oak, is second on the team with 4 stolen bases.
The small ball, we got it. We want to run. I mean, that's what we used to do a while back ago. And I remember when Van Horn recruited me, he told me that, you know, after my freshman year, we're going to go back to recruiting small guys, fast guys, strong players, and we're going to go back to small ball. So it's nice to go back to something that you could say raised playing.
Arkansas lost a number of hitters with power from last season's team, but it's added a lot of speed. Martin, who was on the team last year, is the fastest player this year with a 3.61 second time in the 30-yard dash. Just behind him are Trevor Ezell at 3.62 and Christian Franklin at 3.65. Together, Martin, Ezell, and Franklin have combined to steal 14 bases. 8 different players have at least one steal. For some perspective, I asked Matt Cronin, the Arkansas closer, about facing a team that has the running threat of the Razorbacks.
Nobody likes when guys steal on them. I mean, it's putting pressure on the pitcher. It's also putting pressure on the catcher. They feel like they always got to be ready, or maybe they're not receiving balls as well, or or don't get down to block a ball as quick. And I mean, I think it's just huge having the run threat there.
Just some numbers to watch throughout the season. The Arkansas team record for stolen bases in a season is 155, set in 1983. The individual record for stolen bases is 42 by Scott Loeschke in 1983. When we come back on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, we'll talk just a little bit about the Memphis game in the midweek, and we'll look ahead to the Stony Brook series this weekend. This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
Love the Razorbacks? Would you like more
in-depth analysis,
more behind-the-scenes look at recruiting
and statistics,
more exclusive videos,
and more
coaches and player interviews?
Did we say more?
Your two favorite Razorback sources are now one.
WholeHogSports.com is now powered by Hogs Illustrated.
Get all the news and all the views from the largest and most experienced staff of sports contributors in the state. You'll have an instant connection to all things Hog when you sign up today. Whole Hog Sports, powered by Hogs Illustrated.
Welcome back to this week's final segment. First, some thoughts on the Memphis midweek game. Arkansas defeated the Tigers 10-3 on Wednesday at Baumwalker Stadium. It's tough coming back from a long road trip, and we've seen that a number of times when Arkansas has gone to the West Coast or to Arizona or some other longer trips, and they come back, and you know they may not play too well. And they had a slow start against Memphis, but they were able to come through, seven runs in the fifth inning, and then eventually it turned into a blowout. And like I said, they won that game 10-3. The players talked to me about how glad they were that the game was on Wednesday and not on Tuesday. Jack Kinley said he slept for 12 hours the day that they returned home from Los Angeles. It was a trip that really exhausted a lot of the players. And then I thought against Memphis, it was good work for a lot of the freshmen, especially some of the pitchers like Liam Henry, Caden Monk, Evan Taylor, all left-handers who had their first outings of the season. And then Jacob Burton was able to get in and pitch after not pitching since the season opener against Eastern Illinois. Really impressed with Monk and Taylor, who are a couple of left-handers who I think can contribute to the Arkansas bullpen, maybe on the weekend, but for sure in some of these midweek games as the team gets into these more grueling five games in 1 week period. Monk and Taylor both struck out the side in one inning of work, and I think that was good for them to be able to come in and have that kind of success, similar to how Patrick Wicklander did in his first outing against Eastern Illinois. Also saw, speaking of freshmen, saw Trey Harris play. Trey Harris was the starter at the designated hitter position. Dave Van Horn maybe trying to get the attention of Matt Goodhart and Jordan McFarland, neither of whom hit very well out at USC in that DH role. Trey Harris comes in. He didn't get a hit, but he did walk two times. And then finally, against Memphis, the two-out hitting. Arkansas just continues to hit really well with two outs this year. They're 313 now as a team, batting with two outs this season. Against Memphis, they scored 8 of their 10 runs with two outs, had 7 RBI with two outs. And in the last four games, get this, Arkansas has scored 20 of its 28 runs with two outs in an inning, and it has 17 two-out RBI hits. That's pretty incredible two-out hitting, and it really demoralizes the other team. Looking ahead now to Stony Brook, if you don't know much about this team, it's a small school from the State University of New York system under 29th-year head coach Matt Sink. The Seawolves have become one of the better small school teams in the Northeast. They were Division I beginning in 2000. They've been to 5 NCAA tournaments since then. Made the 2012 College World Series, one of the biggest underdogs ever to make it to the College World Series when they won the Coral Gables Regional and then went to LSU and shocked LSU in a Super Regional. When you go to Omaha, typically the people in Omaha, they adopt a team for a week or 2 weeks or however long the team is there. And most of the times when Arkansas is there, Arkansas is the team they adopt because of Dave Van Horn's ties to Nebraska. The Cornhusker fans just still love him. And every time that Arkansas comes, it seems like Arkansas is the fans or the locals' choice, the team that the locals really latch onto and cheer for. We saw that earlier this year when Arkansas made it to the College World Series championship round. But when Arkansas was there in 2012, that was one of the times that they went to the semifinals. Stony Brook was the team that the locals wanted to win. You saw, all the kids running around in Stony Brook gear, and you saw Stony Brook gear being the one that was the hot cellar across the street at a lot of the vendors. And so that's kind of the memory that I have of Stony Brook, is that 2012 year when they made that great run to the World Series. And I think, you know, a lot of people remember them for that too. We had Joe Healy of Baseball America on the podcast last week. He mentioned that 2012 run and a little bit more about Stony Brook. And in case you missed that, here were his thoughts on Stony Brook after its opening weekend win at Florida International.
Stony Brook, this is not necessarily your father's Stony Brook. I mean, if you remember that College World Series run, but that's a really high standard for them to live up to. But they have been really good ever since then. The quality of play really hasn't dipped there. They came off of last weekend, they just won 2 of 3 at Florida International. Florida National team that I think is pretty good. Now, we don't have them in the field of 64, Florida International, but they've got a lot of really good, talented players. They've recruited really, really well there the last couple of years, and I think eventually that's going to pay dividends for FIU. Maybe not this year, but I wouldn't have picked Stony Brook to win that series, and they did so. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be a game team there. Certainly you would expect Arkansas to win that series, but that's not a series where Arkansas is going to be able to come in there, sleepwalk, and win the series.
Stony Brook comes into this weekend series with a 3-3 overall record. Of course, they won 2 of 3 at FIU, but they lost 2 of 3 last week at Southeastern Louisiana. After this weekend, Stony Brook will have played 9 consecutive games on the road to open the season. Of course, the weather in the Northeast is not conducive for college baseball this time of year. Not very conducive here in Arkansas with the type of weather we're expecting this weekend. A couple of players to keep an eye on this week. Michael Wilson is a junior outfielder, and he was the player of the week in the America East Conference after an 8-hit weekend at FIU. That weekend, he had 2 home runs, including a game winner in the top of the 9th inning that gave Stony Brook a 7-6 win after it had trailed 6-4. But the player to watch this week is Nick Grande. He's a junior shortstop, first-team All-American last season when he batted .377 and stole 32 bases. Now, he's off to a slow start this year, .217 batting average through 6 games. But as you know, good hitters can always get it going in a hurry. Some wondered why Casey Martin from Arkansas wasn't first-team All-American when the preseason All-America teams came out in December and January. In at least one instance, Nick Grande was the reason. It'll be a treat, I think, to watch those two going head-to-head this weekend, Martin and Grande, two of the better shortstops in college baseball. Again, game times this week are 1 o'clock Friday. Second game will be 30 minutes after the conclusion of the first, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and all 3 games this week will be aired on the SEC Network Plus. Next week, we'll recap the Stony Brook series and look ahead to the final non-conference series of the year against Louisiana Tech, a very dangerous mid-major team that Dave Van Horn has mentioned to me a couple of times that he's interested to see how his team is going to react when Louisiana Tech comes in here. Remember, Louisiana Tech gave Arkansas quite the series 2 years ago down in Louisiana, 1-1 of 2, and Arkansas had to come back from a 9-run deficit to win the other game. So Louisiana Tech will be in Fayetteville next weekend. We'll talk about that on next week's podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you'll check out all of our great baseball coverage at wholehogsports.com, including my weekly observations piece that goes more in depth on some of the topics that we've discussed here. Have a great day, everyone.